This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's just so ugly. 13 out of 16. The offense stinks. The pitching stinks. They're lifeless. They're trying to figure it out. Team meeting last year worked. Obviously didn't work the first time this year. So it's, I mean, I know we do this whole thing about we learned a lot last year and not burying the team, and I'm certainly not doing it, but this was completely unacceptable for a team that has a payroll that high and stars on this team like that. You could never get your ass whipped by the Pittsburgh Pirates 30-4 over a weekend. It's just completely unacceptable if you're Carlos Mendoza, David Stearns, and Steve Cohen. Got a bunch of other stuff, including some weird LeBron wording yesterday that makes me think that he might be going somewhere else. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. No, he actually opted into his contract.
Yeah, I know, but no, but if you see,
so we'll talk about that.
No.
I tell you, as a Met fan, I'm not happy this morning at all, man. I'm actually disgusted. Yesterday, I put out a post on X, and I basically said, you know, hey, some Met player has to throw their glove into the stands, because I think it's where it all started last year. It was the low point.
Yeah, it was part of it.
Maybe that was the game where Gary said, oh, this is the low point of the Met season. There's always a new low point, and this is the ultimate low point for a lot of different reasons. The Pirates had 32 wins going into this series. They come out of it with 35, obviously, sweeping the Mets 30-4. What's really disgusting about all of this stuff is that the New York Mets have a payroll of $325 million. Just think about that for a second.
I think about it all the time, Boomer.
$325 million, and the Pirates, and this is all according to SpotTrack, have a total payroll of about $90 million. The Mets have $68 million on the injured side of the ledger. The Pirates have about, $8 million on the injured side of the ledger. When you think about the difference in total payroll is $235 million, and then the active differential in payroll is about $176 million. That is a disgrace, what they just did in Pittsburgh. And I don't know, and I was thinking about this. You know, there was a time when the living legend himself, the great Paul Brown, was running the Bengals. And when he ran the Bengals, you think they're tight now. They were really tight back in the day.
Money-wise,
and just he never wanted to make it easy for the players. And that was, you know, that's part of his who he was as a coach in the 50s and the 60s. You know, he was a hard-ass coach. And he always wanted to make it difficult for the players. And when we had two-a-days, and he was the owner, he wasn't my coach, but when he was the owner, he would be around out there on the football field watching about how we would do things. And everything was just as barren as possible. It was as miserable. It was hot. You know, the sleeping conditions were terrible. I mean, it was almost like He put you in prison for 5 weeks during 2 days, and he wanted to make you tough. He wanted to make you compete. He wanted to make you hungry. And I was thinking that, you know, have the Mets lost that, you know, because of the amount of money and the way that Steve and Alex Cohen treat the team? You know, we heard a lot about how the family members are really love being a part of the Mets because of the way, you know, they think about family first and all of that. And that is great. And then I was thinking, you know, I'm sure the Dodgers do the same thing. I'm sure maybe the Yankees don't do it as quite as good as the Mets, according to Juan Soto. But I would say that, you know, most of these teams that spend this amount of money treat their players like they walk on water and they take care of them, especially their superstars. So you have three Met players that are basically making the most money per year at their position, almost the most, you know, at shortstop. Maybe, I don't know, there could be somebody a little bit more than Francisco Lindor. First base, highest paid player. Right field, highest paid player in baseball. You know, you have these guys and then have to have a team meeting. And I was listening to a couple of things yesterday. One was when Ronnie went into talking about ice cream sandwiches. Mm-hmm. When he goes into talking about ice cream sandwiches, you know the team sucks and they look like crap on the field and it looks listless, it looks bad. And, you know, and I texted him, of course, because I'm annoyed by the whole thing, so I have to let it out to somewhere, and I end up texting him, and I do apologize, Ronnie, if I was a little bit overboard, but I'm sorry. You're the guy that I got to let it out to. And number two is that when you think about you know, a players only meeting, and you have, you know, young players mixed in with older veterans making a lot of money. I mean, and then the manager tries to get him, you know, gets thrown out in game two in this series just to try to ignite this team. It is about as bad as I can remember. But here's why it's so bad, is because this team has real expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I also think too, you know, the old adage is you're only as good as your next game starting pitcher, and the Mets can have all their team meetings. Mendoza can get thrown out, but if Frankie Montas goes on to the mound the next day and looks like that, then they have no shot, especially when they're in a losing streak, and then they're down a million runs when you blink an eye, and you're like, oh my God, here we go again. That's really been the issue more than anything.
Peterson was terrible on Friday night too, but yeah. I would just say that, yeah, their pitching staff, since you and I talked about it about 2 weeks ago, has gone through
it's
hell and back, the amount of injuries awful. And then bringing guys back. But, in regards to each individual player, you know, Peterson's got to get his act together. He's got to be the guy right now with Senga and, you know, of course, Manaea out. As far as Montas is concerned, there is something really wrong with him. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me today that they're going to, you know, shut him down. I mean, there's something.
Physically, you're saying?
Yeah, there's something wrong with him.
I mean, he was really good in his first start.
Yeah, I mean, five innings. I mean,
for him, we all thought he was going to get crushed, and he didn't give up a run.
But now he got crushed, like he got crushed down in the minors in his rehab assignment. There's something wrong with him, and I mean even Mendoza, after the game, was really frustrated when talking about him and talking about his pitching. You could see that he was disgusted and frustrated. I mean, that's one player. That's, you know, he pitches one game or pitches four innings in one game. And of course, when you get down that many runs that early, now all of a sudden the, oh, here we go again sets in, as opposed to fighting back. And, you know, this Mets team early in the season, they had a reputation that they could come back in any game. And I'll never forget, you know, how basically impenetrable Citi Field was for them. And after these wins, you know, whether it be Pete Alonso or Francisco Lindor or Jeff McNeil or Brandon Nimmo talking about, man, we never give up. We always fight. We always come back. We always work hard. You know, we're never out of any game. I mean, these three games, they were out after the third inning, for God's sake. And for that amount of money and for, you know, everybody that's involved with this team right now, that is an absolute, and, you know, I'll take a word that your buddy Joe Beningo used to use all the time. That is a disgrace. 100% would be the way that he would describe all of it. And when you're making that much money and you look like that and you're getting blown out and you can't get a key hit, I mean, you leave men on base. I mean, it's so much more than just the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, they, I think, are the second worst team in either the National League or all of baseball with getting runners in scoring position. I mean, it is as bad as it gets. Now, the pitching,
what they're paying Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil and Brandon Nimmo and, of course, Juan Soto to do?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're paying them to do?
I don't know, man.
Somebody's, you know, I even hate to say this, too. I mean, you know, Mendoza has to take ownership of this as well. I mean, he's the manager. And we all like Carlos. We all love him. Right?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Well,
I'm
every time
to you.
Yeah, every time I start, every at? Time I started to talk, you'd cut me off. So I figured I'd just let you go.
You know, I'm pissed.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop talking and trying because it doesn't matter. So that's why it was sort of like when I argue with my wife. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I don't. It's no. There's no point in trying. So I'm just going to let you get it out. So I decided to scroll a little bit until you were done.
That's all right, what I was doing. It's out. It's out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, if you listen back to it, you know exactly.
I know. I understand what you're saying.
I was trying to get in there.
I understand what you're saying.
I was like,
sorry.
Maybe I should take today off. I can go home. I got stuff I can do.
I'm so lit up this morning.
Yeah, I got stuff.
I'm sorry.
I had a party yesterday. I could clean up the stuff. You know, it's a nice day. Could have gone to the beach. You know?
Yeah. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
And I do appreciate you allowing me.
I am. That's what I'm doing right now.
To have my 5 minutes of just.
Five.
10. Has it been 10? It's been 10 minutes
yeah.
of just letting loose.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, is today going to be the day that you lose it? And it certainly is a great reason to because of how pathetic it's been. So I don't, this is the thing that's scary to me is that they're trying everything and none of it's working. That's the thing that's scary to me. Mendoza, I'm going to get thrown out. Doesn't work. Let's have a team meeting. Doesn't work. You know, and the pitching is so horrendous that trying to get back on track when even the guy who was your most solid pitcher now stinks and David Peterson in his last few starts have not been like him. So now you've got that, but there's no excuse for the offense to be this bad. So like you, if you're going to have as miserable of a starting pitching as you're having because there's injuries and David Stearns does the rotation the way that he does, but the excuses that – there's no excuse for a team, as you mentioned, going through the entire lineup, highest paid guy, highest paid guy, highest paid guy, someone, you know, the MVP discussions and leading the league in homers to go into a hole like this against one of the worst teams in baseball. So, yeah, I mean, it's ugly, it's bad, and then you somehow look up and they're only a game and a half out of first place and still in a playoff spot,
you know,
which is
it's
wild.
Baseball and we got to go through this crap, and I'm sick and tired of saying, oh, it's going to happen. You know, so we know what's going to happen. We know
it. No, I don't know what's going to happen anymore. I don't know what's going to happen anymore.
No, but
like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I don't know that they're going to turn it back around anymore.
Carlos Mendoza said it last week. You know, we know that there's going to be adversity, and then they come back and they win the final two games against the Braves, and all of a sudden everything was, you know, hunky dory and
yeah.
you know, and wine and roses, and then they go out to Pittsburgh and get their asses handed to them. So how do you beat the Braves? The final two of your series at home, and then go to Pittsburgh and get your asses handed to you. How does that happen?
Well, I'll tell you.
Because it's baseball season.
No. I think a lot of it. Well, first of all, they had their first ever like favorable pitching matchup in that Braves series, where they're going against a guy in his second major league start, and then they had the guy look like Dog the Bounty Hunter pitching for the Braves in the fourth game of that series. So they were able to get back on track because of that. But like. It's the starting pitching is terrible.
Can I just say,
like, when you're this bad, it doesn't matter who you're playing.
If you told me they got shut down by Paul Skeens, I'd go, okay.
Yeah.
You got it.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying the offense.
Did Paul Skeens pitch?
No, he didn't. No, that's why I'm saying the offense has got no excuse. But really, the problem is, how are you fixing the pitching? How are you fixing that?
Well, we got a pitching lab.
Yeah,
supposedly.
I know. Well, it's not working anymore. So now all of that's come home to roost. Where you have some injuries, you start going deep into the depth that David Stearns thought that he had, and they stink. So now, you know, Griffin Canning, cute story, done. Sean Manaea was supposed to come back, be great. We don't know what the hell's going on with him. Kodai Senga, hurt again. Tyler McGill, hurt. I mean, and now you've got Peterson who's fallen off a cliff. Paul Blackburn, who is horrendous. Frankie Montas, you think, is hurt, but he's either hurt or just flat out sucks. I mean, the biggest issue about them climbing out of here is there's not a single guy that you hand the ball to outside of Clay Holmes occasionally that you feel like can get the job done. And I mean, Clay Holmes right now is essentially Roger Clemens in his prime compared to these other guys in this rotation. So that is, you want to fix this thing? Fix that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
As a Met fan, don't you want time off from watching this garbage? This has been bad for so long, and what is so stunning, and it's like I'm eating my own words from last year, because what was so much fun about last year is how baseball can turn on a dime, yeah, and the season last year turned on a dime.
Of course.
The exact opposite has happened this year. We are living in a bizarro world of a year ago, because sitting there on that Friday night with a big lead against the Tampa Bay Rays, mm-hmm, and on a win streak with a big lead in the NL East, they innocently took Clay Holmes out early because he wasn't feeling great coming out of Colorado, and they blow that game. And who knew blowing that game would turn into this, one of the worst stretches of baseball we've seen in a very long time. And the Yankees aren't playing much better. We'll get to them in a few minutes, because I think what Jazz Chisholm said yesterday, which I want to read to you, has opened up a huge can of worms around this Yankee team. But let's go to Bill, who's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Bill?
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. I called in to speak about a comment you made before about Mike Brown and practicing, but if I may say first, our sexy first choice was Jason Kidd. So right now, this circus might not be like Barnum and Bailey's. It's more like that local festival field. You still got like some clowns and some animals, but it's not the full circus. But so I don't know if you saw what Kevin Garnett said, I think yesterday or the other day, the clip about like the Achilles injuries and why there's so many. And he's talking about how people, in the players in the NBA, how they practice today, that they're not practicing as much. So they're having more individual workouts. And they're not really replicating that game feel where they're just getting on the court, playing a full game, and not really practicing as hard. So is it more of a Tom Thibodeau not wanting to practice, or is it the league adjusting to where now these players don't want to practice as much? So is Mike Brown really going to be able to come in here and have them practicing as hard as we need them to be practicing?
Yeah, because I think...
Or is it going to be...
The reason I would say yes is because even players, according to Ian Begley's reporting after the firing, were almost taken aback by how little real-time practicing they did. So even in the new standards of the NBA, it seemed like Tom Thibodeau was running less practices and arduous practices as other current teams. So, yeah, I would expect it to be very different.
I would hope so, right? But who knows? Like, I don't know. Is that really, again, a league thing or a coaching thing?
I think in this case, it's a coaching thing. Like, if we're comparing it to 30 years ago, sure, they're not practicing the way they did 30 years ago. But I think compared to everybody else in this NBA of 2025, the Knicks were doing a lot less. I think a lot of this really sounds like the front office wants to be involved.
Right.
And they weren't as involved with Tom Thibodeau. And that makes a lot of sense. Tom Thibodeau's an old school guy who's like, this is my team. I'm going to run it however the hell I want. Well, and when he gets his phone calls from World Wide West, he's like, okay, whatever. And then he doesn't follow
especially
it.
Especially if you have a staff of, I don't want to over, I don't know, emphasize the analytics, but I know that NBA teams and organizations have analytics staffs, and they talk about tendencies, they talk about rotations, they talk about, I don't know, how much play time or wear and tear is going on the players. And if Tom Thibodeau is completely ignoring that after the Knicks or whoever put resources into it, then you're not fully maximizing your potential, right? You're undercutting the process that has evolved in professional sports, which is to have analytics tell you when's most likely to have someone be successful or not.
Right.
And so if he's completely ignoring that, then, I mean, he almost deserves to be fired, because one of the biggest complaints about this Knicks team is that these guys are just always worn out.
Right.
They're always playing too many minutes. They're always put in positions where they can't fully be optimized, and that's on the head coach.
It is official. The Mets lose to the Milwaukee Brewers, the first game of a doubleheader. They've lost four in a row. The Phillies were losing, so at least they may not lose any ground in the National League East if that holds up. But this continues to be a major, 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 major. I'm going to pull a Mike Brown. I'm going to say major 26 times in a row. Major, 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 major crap show. The New York Mets are abysmal. They're playing non-competitive baseball. Their offense stinks. Their starting pitching doesn't go deep enough into games, and they find ways to lose on a daily basis. In this game against the Brewers, the makeup game from last night, the Mets had two hits. Two hits. They faced Freddie Peralta, one of the tougher customers in baseball, but then they faced the Milwaukee bullpen, and they faced the Milwaukee bullpen for three innings. And over three innings, the Brewer reliever shut them out where they didn't get a base runner. This is very, very common now in Metland. They not only don't score, they don't even threaten. Right. You know, for a while it was, hey, they got a lot of opportunities and they just don't hit with runners in scoring position. Well, believe it or not, the Mets batted 1,000 today with runners in scoring position. They were one for one, but that's it. They didn't have other scoring opportunities. So this game, in a lot of ways, the opener, the doubleheader against the Brewers, a big game because the Brewers are a major factor if you're thinking about the wild card race, and you damn well should, because the NL East doesn't feel like it's coming anytime soon with the way they're collapsing. So it's a big swing game in terms of tiebreakers with a team like Milwaukee that you're competing against. The Mets showed you every way they suck in this game. Like, every way. They're not getting on base. Their starting pitching doesn't go deep enough into games. They walk way too many people. They issued seven walks in this game. During this stretch, they've walked more people than any other team in Major League Baseball. Their starting pitching doesn't go deep enough. They walk too many guys. And their bullpen, which at one point this season was reliable, is now incredibly unreliable. Not that long ago, Reed Garrett had a sub-1 ERA. It's now 3-3-1 because he came in today and he faced four people. They all got on base, bing, 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 and they all scored.
Right.
Bing, 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 before he finally got an out and was able to get through the inning, get two outs to get through the inning. Their defense in this game wasn't ideal. They are bad at everything. And so at some point, we have to accept it. At some point, we won't even be screaming and yelling. We'll just be comatose. But as we sit here on July 2nd, they stink!
Yeah, they really do. Luckily, the Phillies are currently losing to the Padres in the bottom of the ninth, but the Phillies are up to bat.
Yeah, and also not necessarily a win for the Mets. The Padres nipping on the Mets' heels in the wild card as well.
That's true.
No, I know. I was thinking about that last night, too. Like, their game got rained out, and I'm like, all right, so the Phillies and the Padres are playing a doubleheader. And I started to have that losery thought of, well, maybe the Mets are better off with the Phillies winning because the Padres are one of the teams growing
right
in the National League. I don't know how, and this is where I'll put Tommy on trial in a nice way because I do like him. This is where I don't know how you can be positive. So, Tommy, tell me why I shouldn't freak out. Tell the audience right now who are leaving Citi Field because they found a way to skip work on a Wednesday afternoon to go to a makeup game. And they watch their team get their asses kicked and lose 7-2.
I think people are just off for the whole week.
You think that's what's going on?
I think it feels like.
Well, the ballpark was empty, so I would disagree. Because if that game was last night, it would have been 38,000 people. Right. And because they moved it to a Wednesday afternoon, they could announce whatever they wanted. The place was half empty.
Maybe they had a pool day. Or maybe they went to the beach.
Well, they didn't go to the game is the point.
That's, well, I mean,
that's fine. Yeah. 36,000 is what they announced. There were more like 12,000 people there.
Well, that's because that's the tickets from last night.
Well, that's my point. Right. That's all I'm saying. Like, right. Look, I'm not there. I was going last night. I was basically pulling up. I was at the Whitestone Bridge, right across the bridge. All of a sudden, I hear they rain the game out. I swerved off, got off the exit, didn't pay the freaking toll, and went home. And like most humans, I have to work today. So I'm not
a loser.
I'm not at this game. Anyhow, tell me, Tommy, tell me why we should be positive.
Okay, first, like a parent, I'm going to give you the broccoli first, and I'm going to shove it right down your throat. I know you don't want it, but I'm shoving it down
Just
your throat.
Just shove it down my throat, bro.
It's early July. There is a ton of baseball left. We saw it last year. Oh, by the way, wasn't there a team that was the worst team in baseball last year in the month of June? Remind me of that team? Oh, it was the team that went to the World Series, the Yankees. So baseball teams have bad months. In fact, there are teams that have the worst month you could possibly imagine and still get to a World Series. Oh, didn't the Mets have two really, really horrible months last year where they were the worst team in baseball, basically? Didn't they make the NLCS? Yes, they did. So there's a lot of baseball left. That's the broccoli. The fun stuff is you're going to get Senga back. You're going to get Manaea back. Reinforcements are coming. And just like last year where the bullpen was their biggest bugaboo, I know you think everything sucks about the team right now.
Well, but, it does.
But I still point
right
to...
Right now it does.
But let's not say everything sucks. Let's just point out, because I think that's, you know, it takes the wins
what
out of people's
What doesn't suck about the Mets right now? Go ahead. Tell me what doesn't suck currently during
this
stretch.
Juan Soto doesn't suck. Well, he's been amazing.
How's he been doing with runners in scoring position?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Runners in scoring position is their biggest bugaboo.
Which is why he needs a leadoff. So even if he hits a home run, doesn't matter. He's doing the same thing.
Right. And Lindor seventh and Nimmo ninth and Alonso fourth, which is my lineup plan to spread everybody out. I think the law of average, if you keep getting, you know, up there with runners in scoring position, eventually the Mets are going to get the big hits. They are going to come.
I agreed with that until they stopped getting guys on base, which has been the problem over the last couple of days. Like, they had one at-bat with runners in scoring position today.
And they went, what? One for one. That's a positive. That's improvement. And we're working towards the right direction. With runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I don't buy anything you said.
Why not?
I appreciate your attempt at being positive. Well, look, the clock part is right. The fact that it's early July is right. No one could argue with the fact that there's still a lot of games left. And no one could even argue with the fact that they did such a good job fattening up early this season that despite this recent struggle, they're still in a playoff spot. Right. And that's great. That's fantastic.
Right. Their second best record, or third best record in base in the National League, now tied with the Brewers. But they've been 3-14. Over the last 17 games.
Right.
3-14.
And non-competitive.
And you're still in the wild card.
Well, that's the positive because of how well they played for the first few months of the year. But like I said a few days ago about this, I'll say it again, eventually that's going to go away.
Yeah.
Like eventually it's going to just...
Especially when you consider the two of those three wins were against the Braves, who somehow beat them 5 out of 7. But actually suck.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They've dropped behind Miami, who's red hot.
Right.
I mean, the Marlins have won 8 in a row. The Marlins are ahead of the Braves in the standings. Yeah. Like, no one could argue with the fact that they have time. That is true. Mm. They have time. The problem is they're bad at everything. And they're probably going to lose tonight. And if they lose tonight, that's another 5-game losing streak, which followed a brief 2-game winning streak and a 3-game losing streak. And before that, a 7-game losing streak. Right. So that would add up to, let me do the math here. So that's 4 plus 3 is 7, 14. 14 of 17 they've lost. Is that the official number we're looking at?
That's pretty bad.
It is, and there's some numbers tied to historically how bad that is for the Mets organization.
Go ahead.
All right, so this is from Anthony DeComo. The 3-14 record since June 13th is the worst 17-game stretch since 2018. In the last 20 seasons, it's only gotten this bad on two prior occasions, that June 2018 stretch and July 2012. So this is tied for the worst 17-game stretch. It's happened 3 times in the last 20 years.
And by the way, those 2 seasons were not good seasons.
No.
Those aren't seasons where you could say, oh, but it ended here. It ended horribly. 2018, as I recall, was the Mickey Callaway rookie season where they started the year 11-1, and we all thought, whoa, this team's pretty good. And then they just completely tanked. Like in June that year, I think they were 6-20. Something like horrifically bad. And 2012 was another year similar to that, where I think they got off to a good start. I think they were above 500 in July, and then it just completely tanked. So the past seasons that you're bringing up are bad years.
Yeah, and over the 17 games, 112-51, they've been outscored.
That, and by the way, that's the key one.
Wow.
And that's the point that you've made, Teak, without the math of the specifics. They are getting blown out now.
Yes.
In all of these games.
So even if it is close, even if it is, it's never a game late in the game. So it doesn't even matter when you get to the, you know, unless you have the top of your order coming up, which is not always guaranteed to be the case. They don't have shots in the back end of these games in the eighth or ninth innings. Just like this first game, even though they did have the meat of their lineup up, they went out weakly.
If you look at the beginning of this season, when they didn't lose often, when they lost, they would lose by a run or two. Mm-hmm. They very rarely got blown out early this season. Most of their losses would be 6-5 or 5-4 or 4-2 or something that was low scoring. It was actually uncanny. The way I looked at it was, wow. I mean, they just, every time they lose, it's a close game. It's a game you can almost rationalize that they can win. And now they get destroyed. They get absolutely destroyed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I wasn't even alive, yet callers have referenced this moment I'm about to bring up many times on WFAN.
Okay.
Supposedly, Billy Martin, the manager of the New York Yankees, picked the lineup out of a hat. That's the legendary story. Now, I want to be completely transparent. I'm very skeptical that this happened, because if you look at the lineup from April 21st, 1977...
You have it?
I do.
All right, let's
There are some changes that were made. Don't get me wrong. Like, Willie Randolph became the leadoff hitter that day. But overall, like, it wasn't that extremely different. But I'll give you the lineup real quick. Willie Randolph led off. Thurman Munson, who had been batting third, was batting second.
Yep.
Reggie Jackson, who was down in the order, started to bat third. And Craig Nettles, who was batting seventh, became the cleanup hitter. And Mickey Rivers, who was the leadoff hitter, became the fifth place hitter.
Huh.
So there were significant changes, but it wasn't completely out of whack, which is why I'm skeptical that Billy Martin ever truly pulled it out of a hat.
Right.
With that said,
now I see the Tommy inspiration that you're alluding to, even though Pete Alonso completely scoffed at this.
Hard no.
But here's the difference.
Hard no.
So for those that are not aware, last week, Tommy had this novel idea he presented to us of, hey, Why don't you just repeat what the idea is real quick, like a little thumbnail sketch?
It created a very awkward situation in the Cadillac Club.
We smoothed it out, though. So we're going to take the Mets' four best hitters, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo. Instead of batting them one through four, we're going to spread them out throughout the lineup. So one of the guys hits first, another guy hits fourth, another guy hits seventh, and another guy hits ninth, and we interchange that throughout the season.
So Pete Alonso obviously hated the idea, but here's the difference. If I'm telling my roster the way the great Billy Martin did and the way Carlos Mendoza would, guys, no offense to anything, I'm literally pulling it out of a hat. I believe in all you guys. You guys are all tremendous. And I'm so confident in you that no matter what the randomness of the hat says, I'm good with this lineup because I believe in you. Then no one could actually be offended by where they're hitting in the order. Right. And I think that's the difference between Tommy saying, hey, I am purposely selecting Francisco Lindor to bat seventh versus doing it randomly. So
you can't actually do it out of a hat.
I have a hat with me.
Because that would be completely giving up. I am lost as a manager. I have no idea what I'm doing. I am literally just going to leave it to Chance. And Chance is going to be a better manager than me. That's basically what
Tiki,
you do. Tiki,
did
you do
Billy
this.
Martin win the World Series in 1977?
I don't know. Did he?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
I wouldn't set you up for no, he didn't. So if Billy Martin could do this on that fateful afternoon or evening in Toronto,
how many days did he do it? Once?
Once they won the game, he stuck with it. That was the whole trick.
Stuck with the lineup he picked?
He stuck supposedly with that lineup for a while. The Yankees ended up finishing the season 162 was their final record.
Sean, can you fact check that for me?
I'm gonna fact check it. As long as Evan apologizes to Tommy before he does this.
Go ahead.
You were the most anti besides Pete Alonso.
That's a great point.
And by the way, everybody else in here said that's not a bad idea. And I understand
I hate the idea. I stand by that.
Okay. You're laying out why this is different, but let's be honest, Evan. After a weekend in Pittsburgh and sitting on Tommy's idea, you thought to yourself, it's not the worst thing, but how can I make this a little more palatable where it doesn't sound as ridiculous?
By the way, that's exactly what Tommy said was going to happen, too. It's exactly what he
said. I cannot accept that this is Tommy's idea. This is Billy Martin's idea.
You are co-opting and somewhat remolding Tommy's idea.
No, I'm not.
This is exactly what Tommy said would happen. Exactly.
First of all,
you don't believe in it now, Tommy. Watch. Or Evan, over the weekend, the Mets are going to suck. You're going to go in and you're going to do your Rico. You're going to be pissed off about it. You're going to come back and think about it. And you know what? You're going to buy in.
That's exactly what's happening, Tommy.
You really are a generational talent. You're Nostradamus over there.
I still hate Tommy's idea.
You're doing it.
I'm using Billy Martin's idea.
It's going to turn out to be just like Tommy's
idea. Well, that may be the case. I'm open-minded to whatever we pull out of this hat could turn out to be very similar to Tommy's idea, but there's a difference, I think, between the randomness of what Billy supposedly did on that fateful day and Tommy saying, I want to purposely hit really good hitters towards the bottom of the order.
All right, let's see.
Well, he's got the hat lined up, and it is a New York Rangers Broadway hat, which kind of ominous because the teams feel a lot alike right now. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
So should I change the hat that we pull this out of?
Well, I would say pull out a Mets hat, but then again, Evan, you don't believe in wearing it in the game, so there's probably none laying around.
I got a great idea. We are on WFAN. I'm going to take this WFAN football helmet.
Wow, beautiful.
That has, plenty of space in it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to dump all the names. Let me make sure they all go in here. I'm going to dump all of it in the WFAN helmet.
Let me have that Rangers hat.
Let me make sure there's nothing left in there.
Nothing in the Rangers Broadway hat. This is going in a can. Sorry, Sean.
It is what it is.
So now I have a WFAN helmet, and I will randomly pull the lineup Billy Martin style, even though you think it's really Tommy's idea.
Let's go. This is the supposed lineup. If Carlos Mendoza is listening to our show, Evan and Tiki.
I don't want to look. I want this to be completely random.
Batting leadoff.
Leading off for the New York Mets will be, holy crap, Juan Soto.
There it is. There it is.
Can you write this down, please?
I am writing it down.
So far, I love this idea. I wanted Soto to lead off.
I know you did. So now maybe it'll happen in your imaginary world that we're creating. Soto leading off.
We have a problem. There's holes in this hat, so the names are falling through the crack.
Jeez.
The whole thing's been compromised.
The best laid plan.
I need to do it in the Broadway hat. There's too many holes in here for me to shake it up. I apologize.
Soto stays at leadoff, though.
Soto stays at leadoff. That was a legitimate pull.
Holes in the lineup plan. Ironic.
Well, whose idea was it to put it in this stupid football helmet?
It was yours, by the way.
Terrible idea. Hopefully this idea is better. All right, we've got the leadoff hitter.
Leadoff. Batting number two.
All right, batting second for the New York Mets, according to the Billy Martin, Tommy Lugauer inspired lineup idea, is the catcher, Luis Torrens. We're off to a flying start.
I mean, this is right in line with what Lugie said.
Batting third, this is very important, for the newly crafted Mets lineup is Mark Vientos.
Okay.
All right.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Right now, it's mirroring Tommy's idea.
Exactly. Now, this should be Lindor or Alonso.
Batting cleanup for this newly printed New York Met lineup is Jeff McNeil.
No, that's not bad.
Oh, Pete's going to be pissed.
Hard no.
Batting fifth in this newly crafted out-of-a-hat Met lineup is Ronnie Mauricio.
Oh, my God.
Batting sixth in this newly crafted random out-of-a-hat Mets lineup is Brandon Nimmo.
Mm.
All right. What are we up to, seventh?
We are getting ready to get on seventh.
Seventh with no Lindor, no Alonso yet.
I know.
This is a problem.
But this should be Lindor or Alonso.
Batting seventh is Brett Beatty.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you this. The three best hitters are going to be batting in a row.
That's right.
Batting eighth in this newly crafted lineup is Pete Alonso.
Mm, hard no.
And batting ninth, Francisco Lindor. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to honor the great Billy Martin and the great Tommy Lugauer, I'm going to put the Broadway hat on now.
Mm.
That would be your lineup. Can you read it aloud to the people now, please?
So, batting first, Juan Soto, followed by Luis Torrens, Mark Vientos, Jeff McNeil, Ronnie Mauricio, batting fifth, Brandon Nimmo, sixth, Brett Beatty, seventh, Pete Alonso, eighth, and Francisco Lindor pulling in number nine.
So it didn't work out, Tommy, your idea. It's actually very different.
I mean, but all you would really need to do is flip, put Alonso at six and then move everybody down. And that would be exactly Tommy's idea.
No, but it's the three best hitters batting back to back to back, which I love.
Isn't that what you want?
You do. You just don't want it 8-9-1.
Well, look, here's what happens. Juan Soto comes up, the first pitch of the game, whatever. He's swinging because he's good. And he can swing on the first pitch of the game and hits a home run. So it's 1-0 immediately. Then who cares what happens with Torrens? Vientos might get lucky running the one here or there. McNeil's going to get a base hit. Mauricio, it actually could work.
You like this lineup?
As long as Soto does what he's supposed to do and either scores or puts himself in scoring position right away.
Well, I told Anthony Gallo, our great digital guy, that he should post this lineup and see Met fans' reactions to the new out-of-the-hat lineup. And you know what this exercise proved? Hmm. It proved that Billy Martin, and I hate to pick on Billy, he's dead right now.
Right.
Billy Martin was a liar because that's what a random lineup pull from a hat looks like. Hmm. Not Reggie Jackson batting third.
Yeah, but
Thurman Munson batting second.
But you know what's crazy?
What?
You could throw this lineup out there, and I'd be like, hey, I mean, might as well.
Why not?
Might be better than what you're getting. Four runs in 3 days against the Pirates.
Well, remember what I told you before this series began? I said when a team is struggling, as fans on sports talk radio, as fans on social media, as fans at the bar, we always love to play without ever realizing we're playing it, bad team bingo. And when you play bad team bingo, you ask for a bunch of random things when your team is struggling.
Yes.
Like one of the things is, hey, the manager should yell and scream and get ejected. Check. Mm-hmm. Mendy did that over the weekend.
Right.
Another thing that one should do is pitch up and in tight to a guy that you really don't like. They did that to Ronald Acuna Jr. a few days ago. Another option is have a team meeting. The Mets tried that on Saturday. They had a team meeting. How'd that go?
Right.
Another option is change the lineup. So Mendy hasn't really done that during this losing streak.
Nope.
And hopefully if he's listening on his off day, and I think he is, he'll be inspired by the Billy Martin in the hat idea. Now, he can pull it out of the hat himself.
I would have him do it himself.
Yeah, in front of the players.
In front of the players as opposed to taking our word for it.
Can you imagine Pete Alonso's reaction?
Hard no.
He's pulled ninth in the batting order.
What the hell are you doing? You know how he could do it, though? He could get away with it by saying, all right, guys, this is just for a game. It's just one game.
One game, yes.
It's just a novelty. We got to try something. Let's just try it. And they all buy in. Like, oh, yeah, let's go, Skip. Yeah, awesome. Fantastic. And then they do it. And then they blow out whoever they're playing. And all of a sudden, it can become a thing.
The other reason.
It could be a slump buster.
It could be a big slump buster. The other thing you could do is you got to fix it, like the frozen envelope. Mm. So if you're Carlos Mendoza, you concoct a weird enough lineup that sounds like it was pulled out of a hat. but it also doesn't offend the senses. So, for example, his lineup would be Pete Alonso leading off.
Yes.
Because Pete would love it. Alonso 1, Lindor 2, Soto 3. Like, accidentally, they're in the front three, and then you screw around with the rest of the order. Right. Oh, look, Luis Torrens is batting fifth. Isn't that crazy?
Double dip today, day-night doubleheader, 1 o'clock or 1:10 first pitch for the first one, 7:10 later on tonight against the Brewers. A couple things here. Obviously, the Mets are playing horrific brand of baseball, and they have been for, you know, 3 weeks. I still don't think it's panic time, BT, because you have to think of where the Mets organization has been at. For me, the majority of my existence as a Mets fan, there have been real reasons to panic or be angry or be frustrated, and that is because ownership didn't want to go spend enough. The GMs were incompetent or didn't know what they were going to do. They had to acquire real talent. They didn't have enough talent. Right now, I think it's the unfortunate circumstance of having an organization that has not earned the equity from the fan base or media members. That's number one. And I knew that was going to happen weeks ago if they continued this losing streak. Number two, they have taken on water in every aspect of their team. Now, if it continues that, like, if Manaea doesn't come back healthy and pitch well soon, or Senga doesn't come back eventually, they're going to be toast. Like, there's only so much you could overcome. Name me the teams in the big leagues that can withstand losing what the Mets have lost as far as their starting center fielder, their starting DH. Now, the catcher hasn't performed, but still, he was banged up. Vientos, whatever, again, hasn't performed. Both starting pitchers, your top two starting pitchers, not to mention other guys in that rotation, guys in the bullpen, and right now you're seeing the culmination. But with all that being said, there's still 11 games over 500. There's still just a couple of games back. Now, sooner than later, they're going to have to start playing better baseball, but for me, I don't think this is a bad ball club. I think it's a club that has some question marks and some issues, but is taking on water in multiple areas all at once, which makes it feel a lot worse than it is big picture.
Listen, we could get to how they've gotten to this point a couple of different ways. Right. And I don't disagree with everything that you said. The problem is, do they have enough buckets to make sure this water gets off the boat that's starting to drop?
Well, they have enough time.
They definitely have time.
And they're 11 games over 500. So, like, Think about what would have to happen for them to be 500, which, by the way, I've seen plenty of 500 teams bounce back over the last 2 months. So, like, they've built up so much equity. I don't know this. I had the people at SNY looking at this for later for the TV show. I would venture to say this is one of the best starts still in franchise history. So for me to go nuts and panic and say they're bad, I'm not. Now, World Series, you can't even talk about that right now. Right now it's about, hey, can they
stabilize.
Right. Do they have enough buckets to stabilize before it gets really bad?
Okay, and so My concern with the Mets is that there's a lot of contingencies right now.
Yeah.
And generally in sports, when there's so many, well, if this happens, if this guy gets back, if this guy does this, when you rely on so many of those, they very rarely all work out enough where the season goes where either you thought it would go or wanted to go or both. Now, the other thing about the Mets, I said this yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess, is that really, I can't look at them right now and say, this is why I think they'll sweep the Brewers today. This is why I think they'll take 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. But those would not be tangible enough for me to feel good about. Because there's no way I could look at the starting pitching and say, that's going to stabilize things. I can't look at the bullpen, even though they got a couple of days off. So maybe that's going to be better. But I don't like the bullpen. I don't mean the back end. The other stuff of the bullpen. I don't like the offense right now, really, outside of Soto. And I don't even really love the defense. So when I look at, like, okay, what component of the 2020, forget about history and forget about World Series and forget about everything, but just right now, July 2nd, moving forward, getting this fixed, what part of the team, again, besides Soto, who's doing his job this month or last month,
it can't just be one guy.
Is going to pull them out of this mess, and I just see too many contingencies now.
Well, it would have to be the guys that are here. Because if you're saying right now, so that eliminates Manaea.
Alvarez.
It eliminates a potential
Senga,
trade. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yep.
But that is part of why I'm ultimately not panicking, because I do trust David Stern sooner than later is going to be like, okay, now we now need to definitively make a move here. Like, it's getting too late. It's getting too close to danger zone. We need to plug this hole, plug that, whatever it may be. Those are all parts of it. That plus getting those guys back. Right now, there is no choice other than Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Vientos, those guys have to pick this team up. The bullpen is overused and not very good. The starting rotation, you look at it even on paper, you're toast. It's just not, their formula was working. Solid five innings from the starter, whoever it may be, handed over to a solid bullpen and hit enough to win. That was working for a certain period. They were going to need to hit more eventually or get healthier in the starting rotation to have them go deeper. It all came crumbling down at once. The only thing that they could hang their hat on now is that lineup. And those guys just haven't gotten done consistently enough. But it's not like they don't have the guys. They do. They just got to start getting it done.
I wish the Mets' energy was better. That's what started worrying me. It's different, but it's also part of, do you have enough buckets to fix this year? Now, last year's chemistry was last year's chemistry. That uniqueness might not be recreated for another 25, 30 years. Like, it was fun. They were vibing. They were playing well. It was a good thing, and I know the fans loved it. Now, I know in baseball, when you don't play well, you can look almost apathetic, like, almost indifferent. You know, 0 for 4s and 1 for 5s and losing 12 to 2. That'll do it to any team. I don't care who you are. But I need to start seeing. I got to start seeing some fight, some outward emotion and resistance and intolerance to this horrific. I mean, the Pirates series was maybe the worst series of baseball that I've ever watched in my life.
It just can't happen.
And I think it's got to start with a what they project energy-wise, and that's got to be Lindor. It ain't going to be Pete with the energy. It's got to be Lindor.
Yeah, okay. See, now I think you're onto something that's more of a root issue that I've been talking about since 2022. See, for now, like, if you look at Lindor, if he doesn't hit, they're not getting, like, there are certain things you just can't go, well, go get this guy, go get that guy. We talk about it with the Yankees where, okay, they could get a third baseman. That's an easy fix. Move Jazz a second, get a third baseman. Yeah. A bigger problem could be Volpe, because if Volpe's not a competent shortstop, they could be screwed. All right, so the Mets, if Vientos doesn't hit and Lindor doesn't hit, they've got issues. Like,
then they're not a playoff team if that's the case.
Exactly. So there's no point even discussing that. Those guys have to do their job. Same thing you could even say with Manaea and Senga. If at least one of those guys don't come back, there's no point having the conversation.
Your best player's got to play well. That's it. For any team.
Rule number one. So at least they have the players. Okay. Now the bigger issue, and you know I love Juan Soto, so I don't think that this is on
you?
Him. Yeah.
No.
What? Don't know if you know that.
Get the breaking news sound here on the fan. Get Mink. Got breaking news. He likes Soto.
I am not putting this on him. But remember how I told you Jack Parkman vibes a couple of weeks ago? We talked about this.
Maybe, I remember the conversation.
Maybe even a month ago. Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, sure. The
Jack
movie, of
Parkman
course.
Comes over, all-world player, producer, but just it never fit right with the club.
A little to himself, a little detached.
And now this is me from the outside. This is not me talking to anybody. It's just my interpretation of watching this team from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Something is off with the chemistry. You don't have that much talent and that much ability and perform the way that they have consistently for 3 weeks, especially against the crappy Pittsburgh Pirates. Teams are playing downhill against the Mets, and it seems like the Mets are just, I don't want to say going through the motions, but there's something off. And I'm just speculating that maybe it's the new guy in town. Like, don't you think it's odd that the Mets played their best baseball for months when Juan Soto wasn't doing much? And now all of a sudden the guy's had a historic June to where he's been the best outside of Judge, maybe and even with Judge included in June, maybe the best player in the sport in the month of June. But yet the Mets go into their funk. Like, that doesn't add up to me. So is there some sort of either jealousy, resentment, not fitting in, not comfortable, like something, there's got to be something off. Now, that's on the manager, it's on Soto, it's on Lindor, the leader, it's on those guys to fix it, if it is a problem. But I don't look at this as just saying, well, they don't have enough talent or so-and-so's not performing. I think it's something deeper than that. I think that this core, I mean, I've said this since 2022. I would trade McNeil. I'd look to trade Nimmo. Yep. And I love Brandon Nimmo, but if you could find a taker and pay some of the money and then bring in a different type player, I don't know, dude. I think that something with the infrastructure of this group is off this particular year.
Okay, that's pretty bold, pretty interesting there. I don't necessarily disagree. I think the question is, do we expect that aspect to radically change? Now, it's going to look better when they start winning.
Yeah.
Provided they start winning, it's just going to, it's going to look better just based on guys feeling better about themselves, banging a few hits. See, the Juan Soto that the Mets acquired And I knew this, but it didn't infiltrate the season negatively because the dynamic between Soto and Judge was so amazing. Like, the Yankees couldn't help but win, right?
It's also different. They had a clear leader.
Pecking order of, well, power and leadership. Yes, I was going to actually, you beat me too. That's part of it. But the Juan Soto that you acquired, and it's the same Juan Soto the Yankees acquired, and the Padres and everybody, he is a robotic, and that's a compliment.
Yes.
Individualist.
Correct.
He is to himself. Now, I'm not saying he won't dap you up and do the picture with Marte. He's engaged in that. He's got pulled
he's
in maybe a little
fun,
reluctantly. He's
that.
Having fun. I'm not saying he's not having fun. But like the there was an issue in the Padres clubhouse as well. And I'm not going to drop that at Juan Soto's doorstep. Right. As a matter of fact, if anything, I think it's others. What trickled out of San Diego's clubhouse was Juan was not appreciative of the fact that in his opinion, it was not about baseball enough. And Juan Soto is all about baseball, which is a really good thing. But there are other aspects of the game where, you know, hitting off the tee and doing the drills and watching the film and being so immersed in your swing, you never want him to lose that, and he won't. That's what got him paid. But can he do enough of the other stuff, not to fit in, because of course he's fit in, but to be more of an asset when he's out of the batter's box.
Or how about the others around him just accept it for what it is? Now, again, I don't know if this is an issue or not. All I'm saying is something doesn't add up to me. And you can easily say, well, Sal, it's just the pitching staff. They've been ravaged by injury. That's falling apart. And then the bullpen has to, you know, overwork themselves and they're tired. Maybe. But I'm looking a little deeper into things. And remember, too, one issue that was not there with the Yankees a year ago, the contract.
Yep.
Like that, when somebody comes into your established clubhouse and is the new guy in town and he's making that much money.
And Pete had to fight for every nickel.
And he doesn't want to partake in some of the silly stuff, maybe, or that's just not his.
Yeah,
not the,
like, I got it.
Like,
I understand what you're saying.
It's an easy thing to do the math on and say that maybe. Now, again, when you say like there's an issue, I'm just saying that maybe it takes a little time for this group to gel and fit and play for each other. Remember, they had a meeting, and Darling, I think, was talking about this, was saying that usually when you have those players' meetings, it's to make sure nobody's pointing fingers. And maybe that's a part of I don't know, but I just find it odd that the Mets go into a tailspin that coincides with Juan Soto taking off. That does not add up.
Could you imagine what they look like if he was hitting 230 with an OPS of 790? I mean, hasn't really changed the bottom line result, but God, it would be minor league-ish. All right, so let's individualize this because I think we're onto something interesting. Now, I'm going to use it's not the right name because you know him very well. You worked with him. We all know him.
Yeah.
But just imagine if somebody like Mike Francesa, like that shadow in the industry, right?
Yeah.
Came to WFAN, started doing a show.
And like now, you're saying?
Right now. Yeah, okay. And we're all here, all right? I'm not saying anybody loses their job, but in addition to, all right? And we're making what we're making, and he's making however many times what we're making.
Right, right.
And, you know, now we don't necessarily do this because the guys in the morning got to get up early, and Tiki's got four kids, and Evan's going to games, and I'm always at the fields, and you have a daughter. Like, we're all busy. But imagine if we were like, come on, we're going to go grab a couple beers, or we're going to go get some wings and watch the game. And every time we were trying to connect with the new Mike, he's like, nah, yeah, I'm good. Like, you didn't feel it. Not that you couldn't still pump out good shows, but there's going to be a less than optimal morale at the station.
Yeah, maybe,
I don't know if that's it. I don't know.
Maybe a better example would be if it were somebody within the show, because in the baseball lineup or on a team, you kind of want to have everybody pulling together.
Yeah, I just say that, though, because he came from a different team. I'm coming from a different station, so to speak. You know, again, not a perfect analogy, but human emotions are fragile. They're unpredictable, even for these big, bad, amazingly physically and usually mentally wired athletes. When it goes, it goes. And it's gone right now wrong on every level for the Mets. And that's why I think it's got to start, because Sang's not pitching tonight. You know, he's not pitching either of the games, and neither is Manaea. It's got to start with just a little bit of a rally. Well, I got to see some more outward energy from this team. They look dormant.
Which is why I would trade Jeff McNeil, because I've been on this for a long time. I don't like McNeil's body language, never have, never will. And I think he could be a somewhat productive, useful player to another. He also shouldn't be playing center field. Like,
oh, my God.
He's serviceable for a game or two. He's not a center fielder. You could see it clearly. So it's not his fault they're putting him in a bad position. If you trade Jeff McNeil, Here's what I would do. That would be the first piece. Trade Jeff McNeil and just move on from him. It's not trying to get anything in return. Whatever you can get from the deal, great. If not, just shed his salary and open up a spot for Acuna. And now I want Acuna to play every single day. He's a high-energy guy.
Little juice.
Great defensive player.
He's got a little snap.
Speed. You bat him ninth.
Yep.
You know, I know his offensive game. Let him, give him the runway. Let's see what he could do. Mm-hmm. So now I'm changing the energy, changing a little bit of the mojo and body language, giving a young player an opportunity that I saw make a difference last year when he came onto the scene, and even at times this year. So there's no, like, he's a part-time player, you let him play. That would be number one. The other move that I would look to make, as I mentioned this before with Nimmo, is because the Mets will get a center fielder, whoever it may be, Mullins, whatever.
When is Siri coming back? Is he playing this year? I don't know.
That's, who knows. But either way.
Is he out for the whole year?
I don't know. I think he had a setback, which is setting him, yeah, obviously setting him back.
Yeah.
But they're not changing right field. They're not changing first base. Not changing shortstop. Third base, they could get a third baseman, but they also have plenty of different options there. I would look, and catcher is what it is. Is there a good catcher they could go get? Or is it better to rely on Alvarez? I would look at left field. And again, I don't know if there's going to be a taker on Nimmo. I just know that everybody loves the on-base stuff, and he's a really...
Now, they used to. He's not on base. Four years in a row, it's going in the wrong direction.
His numbers actually aren't awful.
No, like, they're not. But you know what it is? He's never consistent. Like, Brandon Nimmo goes on a kind of like Stanton. Like, goes on like a without the power. Yeah, although he does
without
have power.
That much power.
Without that much power. When he bangs him, he hits long home runs, actually, as you know Nimmo. But
he's a good chemistry guy. Like,
he,
good club
is he, though? I think
leader. Yeah, I think Nimmo's
I think he is... Yeah, no, I think that he is. I think he sets the right tone.
Him
by his
and
work,
Lindor
I think.
Have been. Yeah, me too.
I do.
But there's you can't move, like, they're not moving Lindor, they're not moving Pete, and they're certainly not moving Juan Soto. So who of that big group can be moved? Maybe they move Nimmo. And again, I don't know if it's even possible. Would another team be willing to take him, even if you paid half his contract? I'm not sure.
He's 32.
I mean.
You know, not old, not young, no arm.
It's an area where they can upgrade with a more consistent performer. By the way, I'll tell you who looked good this weekend is Brian Reynolds.
He did. It's ironic. I was watching. We were talking about him all day.
Yeah, the day before. Hey, he's washed up, whatever. You watch him play, you take him in that line. Anyway, point is, that's what I would look to do. I don't know if it's possible. I think trading McNeil is realistic. I'm not sure about Nimmo. I would look to make a move like that and just change it up a little bit and then hope that they get some of these guys back and hope that some of these guys start to perform. That's all they can do. They built the team to compete. They've just got to go out there and compete.
Here's why I would move Nimmo today if I had a chance here. And again, you're right. They'd have to eat some of the money. I remember saying this a while ago because I've always liked him, but I've never been as impressed with him as a player as some. One, two, three, four. Sal, this is the sixth. Now, there's a lot of baseball to go here, so this could change. Six straight years, his on-base percentage, which is always what
that's
he was lauded for.
Yeah.
So it went from, 404 to 401, which is amazing, to 367, which is still good, to 363, last year to 323, and this year his on-base percentage is down to 316.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, that's a massive drop. That's what he was best at.
Which is maybe why you can't. And look, maybe if you can't trade him, you just have him relegated to a way lesser role.
I don't think you guys have enough players to sit him. He's got to play. That's the problem.
I'm saying maybe DH before Winker gets back. Like,
that's what you're saying.
They need another. They definitely need a center fielder. They might need a replacement for Nimmo as well. All right, BT. Because otherwise you need him to perform, and he hasn't performed. So which one is it? Are you going to rely on him all of a sudden to wake up? Or maybe go get somebody who can?
No, him produce. And McNeil, I think they are who they are at this point.
So it's been a few weeks here, but ultimately... And we could have our reasons for thinking one team better than the other, one team worse off than the other. And ironically enough, they're going to meet this 4th of July weekend, which is going to be, there's going to be some blood drawn one way or another.
Yes. Listen, someone's going to get off the mat a little bit, and somebody's going to stay down with more bruises.
It's going to be a different type of Subway Series than we felt in May.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, but it'll still be exciting nonetheless. But I still think at the core of it, both teams will be fine. I feel like it's easier for the Yankees to be fine just because of where they're at. But the I guess, negative with that is, what's the Yankees' excuse for their poor play? It's not a specific, well, this guy's hurt or that guy's hurt. It's, hey, there's an issue that's been plaguing them for a while that they need to figure out how to clean it up. Maybe adding a third baseman, adding a bullpen arm or two could help, but they're still going to have that same fundamental issue going into the postseason, whether Judge can perform, whether they can be buttoned up enough. With the Mets, it's, well, they're ravaged right now. They need to get healthy and have guys perform. So there's a little bit more to overcome, but at least there's a clear, like, hey, they should be getting multiple guys back, and if they don't, then they're toast anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I give this less credence because, you know, every time I look up, that division's getting tighter for the Yankees here, but I think most of us strongly believe that the NL's better. That's another obstacle that the Mets have that maybe the Yankees don't, but I don't know if I'm feeling what you're saying. I don't really feel good about either team right now, and I understand certainly, like, intellectually what you say, like, what could happen. I'm not sitting here today on, you know, early July 2. What is it, July 2? On July 2nd thinking for sure that this thing's going to get rectified both sides of town. I don't necessarily feel that. These issues are deep. These issues have been constant. And as I said, pertaining to the Mets, and I'll apply the same thing to the Yankees here, you know, when there's a lot of contingencies and when you're relying on a lot of variables to go well, and I don't mean good players just busting out of funks. I mean, that's something that we could always resort back to the back of the baseball card. We've heard that. I don't mean that. I mean, there are myriad issues with both teams, and I'm sure some will be resolved, and I promise you some won't. And the some that aren't, well, that's going to determine what happens. And, you know, I mean, roll the dice. I don't necessarily think both teams are going to the playoffs right now.
It's interesting.
I really don't.
But you think the Yankees more so than the Mets?
I think the Yankees have a better chance to go to the playoffs than the Mets, but I don't. You feel better about the Yankees right now than I do.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are 100% locked for the playoffs. I wouldn't put 100% for the Mets on the postseason, but I still think ultimately they'll be fine. Think about it. For years, not from the Yankees perspective, from the Mets for a second. For years, it's always, they need this and they need that and they need so much and they're just not on the level. That's why I'm able to be a little bit calmer now, as ugly as it is. Like, obviously, nobody's going to watch that series and think everything's okay.
Yeah.
But to trust that they're going to be all right eventually is because, A, the owner, B, I know Stearns has shown, even in a 1 year, a record of accountability, a track record of accountability. See the resources that they've already invested and will continue to invest, and then D, the ability that they have here. Like, if they didn't have Juan Soto right now, or Lindor, or Alonso, be a different story. Now, will those guys perform all together? That I don't know. What is Vientos? I have no idea. But at least they have guys who have done it before, and it's not like, oh my God, look at this lineup. Like, you need to go out and get Cespedes. You got to get a real bat. That's not where we're at. It's a different level of issue.
I know we want to bang these calls in, but I have one more question for you because you mentioned Stearns. And I understand the accountability here. Like, Joey Wendell was one, $2 million. Yeah. He did nothing. They got rid of him quick. I forget the dude who threw his glove in the stands. They bounced him right away.
Whoever it was.
Yeah, I think that was it. So they've definitely done some things where there's not a tolerance for either a lack of performance or just acting like a clown, and you commend them for that. So I know that you trust Stearns, and you should, but do you trust him enough to deviate from the practices that he had in Milwaukee where it was like tweaks and tinkerings? Like, I am of the mindset that the Mets, and I have been for a while, the Mets need a big trade. You have confidence Stearns will pull that off?
I think he will be aggressive, yes.
Okay.
Now, when you say...
He's got to prove it, though, because he hasn't been that way.
Well, I mean, but it's...
In Milwaukee.
But it's also, fair enough. But it's also, like, let's just judge what he's done here. And he hasn't had to necessarily do that yet, go all in. He's got to do something sooner than later to just try to stabilize certain aspects of the team. Like we said before about their taking on water, like at some point you're going to have to throw a bucket.
Yeah.
They haven't thrown any buckets yet.
They're like, just, I said the Yanks should cut Leiter. They should cut Blackburn. He's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah,
get lost.
Yeah,
stinks.
But the problem with that is they don't have any other arms.
Minor leagues. At least there's maybe some upside.
They've already dug into the minors. I'm more of they need to go add a big, go take on some salary and get an arm in here that could be serviceable to try to stabilize things. But when you say big trade, that's why I brought up Nimmo, McNeil. Like, I think the idea of trading Jeff McNeil, even though it may not seem like a big trade, to me that is a big deal. Moving on from McNeil, a player who's been somewhat productive in his time with the Mets. Yeah, the guy was an all-star with the Mets, batting champion, whatever. Move on from McNeil. Even if the return's not big, that's a big trade. Okay, we're not accepting what's going on here. We're not just going to be status quo and hope everybody's going to come back. Like, they've got to be smart enough to have the foresight to identify this isn't working for whatever reason. This mix isn't working or this player isn't fitting for whatever reasons it may be. That's why I brought up Nimmo before. I don't know if it's realistic, but I'm thinking big trade like that and then maybe acquire another piece or two. I'm not just saying go out there and get the biggest name available. I don't think it's going to do anything for him.
Well, it depends what position. If it's a bat, I think it addresses their... Again, the pitching's so beat up right now, I can't even judge them fairly here, except, you know, understanding Blackburn. Every time I see the guy pitch, he's awful.
Yeah.
Starting with that Colorado game a couple of Sundays ago when they were up like 12-0 and he had to hang on for dear life. He couldn't get it out. I mean, Blackburn does not deserve to be taking the bait. Peterson's had some rough outings.
But that's what I'm saying.
Back-to-back.
If he's had now... They need him.
But he's got a track record here. I mean, Peterson's got good stuff.
But they need him right now. So
I know they do.
Like, if you added Max Fried to the Mets right now.
No, you need a bat. You need a bat.
They need multiple. They need Manaea back, Senga back. They need Peterson or pitching a little bit better. As crazy as it is to say, they might need Tyler McGill back. Like, that's how bad they're going right now. There's not one great arm or one great bat that could help them. They need a bat and then their bats to start doing something.
And don't you think they need to do it soon? Because the pitchers that are being thrown out there right now are not giving the Mets a chance, to forget about win, to really compete. So if you're going to compete, you got to at least pile up some more runs. That's why I'm saying, like, make the trade now just to stabilize it. Get the bat.
Non-competitive. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Rob calling from Long Island. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Rob.
Good. Yeah, listen, I'm calling, if you can make me, you know, allow me to make 2 points. BT, you were talking the other day about the Mets lacking a leader. And I've been saying this for the last 3 or 4 years. They just don't have that leader in that clubhouse. You know, you saw Alonso get knocked down. I think it was right before this losing streak started. I don't know if it was against Tampa or it was Washington. And Ron Darling was commenting on the broadcast about how irate it made him to see that there was no retaliation. And I think that if you have a leader in the clubhouse, you're going to do something as simple as just bury one in between the numbers of an opposing team.
Yeah. And they've been doing that with they've been doing that with Alonso for years.
Yeah, and it's not just Alonso. I mean, not for nothing. He leads the league in hit by pitches.
Oops, sorry there. We got to let you go there, Rob. You had a bad line. I hung up by accident. I was going to let him make that final point, but the line was getting out of whack right there. Yeah, I'm not going to get caught up in that. And we did see Holmes throw up and in.
Yes, he did. Acuna.
Against Acuna, right, that first night there.
Yeah, loved it.
You know, and the Mets were able to beat the Braves. Just shows you how bad the Braves have been going. Oh, the Mets were able to beat the Braves 2 straight. That's what I'm saying. It's not just – I don't think it's obviously not one particular issue, but there's something off. It's not just that they're losing. It's not just that their staff – bullpen and starters have been ravaged or their offense is underperforming. Something's not adding up.
Yeah.
Because even without the starters, even without the bullpen, they're not losing games 8-7. Mm-hmm. You could say, like, hey, you know what? Alonso's homering, Lindor's performing well.
Get the pitchers back, we'll be fine.
Well, no. Like,
can't say that right now.
They're getting smoked.
Destroyed.
By the Pirates.
Yeah. You know, I had an issue with it, and you brought up some questions about Soto fitting in. Not that I don't want to overstate it. If you guys missed the Free Odyssey app, it's an interesting take. Just more about, you know, the chemistry's a little different this year. I don't know, man. Like, if I'm a Met, I've been on the Mets for a couple years, and I've been on the field against the Phillies a lot. And I know that he used to play for the Nationals as well, but I'm going to keep going back to that Sunday night exchange with Realmuto. And they kept talking about how Juan Soto and Realmuto, there's a little chess match, and they're always talking during the at-bat. I don't know. I mean, if a new Yankee, and I hate to make it Yankee, but it just this will crystallize it. If a new Yankee was doing that against the Red Sox, I'd be like, dude, don't you remember when Varitek mushed A-Rod in the face or when Pedro threw down Zit? What are you doing? Like, you know, there's just things that have happened in the Mets-Phillies rivalry, and maybe he's too obtuse. It's just, like, certain things have to register, and he's got to feel that, and maybe some of the older Mets are like, eh, I don't love that look.
I could 100% see that being the case. Anthony's calling from Staten Island. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you? I just want to make a couple of points. I'm a Dodgers fan, but I'm an avid fan. I love all sports and all the teams, but... Well, first thing is, Sal, I want you to fix that beard. I saw it last night. It looks good. Just trim it.
Oh, I did. I shaved. Last night, I just got back from vacation. I was a little lazy, but it's
it was
today.
Looking a little bushy last night.
Man,
I was shocked,
man.
I saw that.
Come home, clean right. The pool, good, taking good. Care of the dog. Anything else you need me to do? You sound like my wife. Yeah. To-do list.
I mean, all right.
Hey, worried about what was coming out of my mouth, not what my mouth looks like. No, go ahead, Ant.
Mets,
I did notice that.
I think the Mets are in a little trouble, but to me, the Yankees are in a lot of trouble. BT, how could you say with a straight face, I tried to get on as I was driving, but I didn't get through, that the Yankees are the best team in the American League? Have you seen the Tigers?
Yeah,
Toronto, Tampa Bay?
Well, I have.
I think the Red Sox are not far behind.
No, I've never heard of these teams, Ant. I've never watched the Red Sox play a game. No, but Anthony, what I also said was, I'm very worried about the Yankees to the point where I don't guarantee that they're a playoff team. You must have missed that part. You know, fixating on Sal's beard.
Thanks for the call.
No, I mean, listen, the Yankees are obviously in a decent place, even with the way they've looked for the better part of a month here. But I, you know, and I've said this a while, Sal backed me up on this. I'm not one of these Yankee fans who leans on history. Well, they're the Yankees. They'll be fine. They'll figure it out. Nonsense. Now, I do believe with Luis Gil coming back eventually, you know, and Luke Weaver getting back and getting back into form and getting a little healthier and getting a third baseman, which I believe that they will, I do think the Yankees will be a playoff team. And based on the weakened state of the American League, I do think the Yankees will have a chance to get back to the World Series. But it's more about, or it's almost as much about the weaknesses around them, not that you want to face Schuble in a short series or even Valdez from Houston, rather than me sitting here saying, well, I believe the Yankees will get to the World Series because they do this incredibly well and right. that incredibly well, and I'm so confident in this. There are fundamental breakdowns, again, that could they could have lost some of the series last year before they got to the Dodgers in the World Series.
We know in this town what a championship team should look like. The difference that we're living through now with the sport being the way that it is, because we'll look at the Yankees and I can definitively say, like I did last year, this is not a championship team. But then you go to the postseason and see the Royals, the Guardians, and you're like, well, the Yankees got to a World Series. So if they get that close, anything could happen in the best of seven. Unfortunately, Yankees made some mistakes and went the Dodgers way. But just because the Yankees don't look like a championship team doesn't mean they can't go through the American League. And you could sit there, Anthony, and say, well, have you seen the Tigers? Yeah, okay. Have you seen the Astros? We don't watch them all the time. But, yeah, the record's good. We know that they're good teams.
Good pitching.
You mentioned Toronto. I watched Toronto boot the ball yesterday left and right. And I'm looking at the team saying, they're not any good. You really think the Blue Jays are better than the Yankees? Come on.
No, well, that's a team I don't take it seriously. I might have to start taking them serious if they sweep the series. But no, big picture, I've said all year I don't take them that serious.
Same thing with me with the Rays. And even if the Yankees had their issues with the Rays and the Rays have been good, like, come on, we're talking about the Yankees versus the Blue Jays and the Rays here. Red Sox would have been a different story. They've obviously, since they trade Devers, they go the wrong way. Tigers, I think, are a legit threat.
Whereas, I do not want to face them.
Yeah, whereas the American League Central normally is a bye. They are a different animal.
Yep.
They got a manager who's got the pedigree. They got the A's. Yeah. And the Astros are the Astros. Like, until the Yankees actually beat them in a series.
I don't disagree.
Been mostly Yankees so far. Actually, it's been all Yankees so far. We'll get to Mike Brown. We mentioned that yesterday. BT and I were on the air for that breaking news with Mike Brown. I'll mention that in a little bit. But mentioned the Mets off of yesterday's doubleheader split. And a couple of things. Number one, Juan Soto was named Player of the Month, so congrats to Juan Soto. If Player of the Month is your thing, it's not really my thing. Judge, it seems, he does that every month. Who'd you think was going to win Player of the Month? Obviously, it was going to be Juan Soto. We had an incredible June. What I'd like to see with Soto is him starting to get a hit with guys on base. That would be nice. That would be the next phase of development here with Juan Soto. You know I love Soto. I wanted the Mets to go get him. He's got to get a big hit with guys on. Like, at some point, that's got to happen. The Mets offense really needs it. But the big thing yesterday was the lineup change, where I'm kind of surprised, although I guess I shouldn't be, with Mendoza deciding to put Lindor in the two-hole. And do I think that that's the reason why Lindor went off last night and finally broke out of his slump? I don't. Maybe it was a wake-up call. Instead of just being complacent and in the leadoff spot and expecting something different to change, I don't know, maybe it was hitting in front of Soto that gave him some benefit, who knows. But the bigger key is not, Lindor's going to hit. Like, anybody who thinks Lindor's not going to hit at this point, you're not paying attention. He's going to have bad months, we know that, bad weeks, bad month, whatever it may be. But Lindor is going to hit. He's the least of the Mets' concerns, unless he was hurt. And I know that was a thing with the toe. Soto's going to hit. Now, is he going to hit with runners in scoring position? I believe so. It's July, bro. It's July. Like, maybe, I don't know, tomorrow would be a good start for that. You could wait one more day. Nothing beyond tomorrow. Fireworks should be coming down with Soto tomorrow night. Anyway, Alonso's going to hit. He's driving in runs. He'll still continue to do that. He'll go through a slump. Do I trust Nimmo is going to be, all of a sudden, in the leadoff spot, a productive offensive player? I don't. I like Brandon Nimmo. I want him to do well. I don't trust that he's going to be a productive player. Do you know why I don't trust that? Because he hasn't been consistent. It's very, you know, it's cut and dry. Sal, why do you love Juan Soto so much? Okay, look at his baseball reference page or watch him hit and then answer that question yourself. Why do I love Juan Soto so much? You think it's because I think he looks nice in a uniform? He has nice cleats. He wears his hat well. I like his number. Or is it because he's a beast in the batter's box? Okay, Sal, why do you doubt Nimmo? Because he's inconsistent. Look at his baseball reference page. Watch him play. He's inconsistent. I want to like Nimmo. I was a bigger believer in him than most the last couple of years, thinking he was going to have an all-star year. Hasn't happened for him. And at some point, you know, he's getting old and banged up. He's always he always looks much older than he is, or it just feels like that with Nimmo. Guy plays hard. He's a hustler. You give him credit for that. He's got a good attitude, good leader, good heart. He just hasn't been productive enough. So back to the main point, the lineup switch. No, to me, it's eyewash. It doesn't matter where the guys hit. It's about who's producing. Last night, the biggest key was 7, 8, 9 with two outs getting on for Brandon Nimmo. And then Nimmo delivering the big blow with the grand slam. I'd like a little more consistency from the Mets offense overall. What the hell's going on with Mark Vientos? The only reason to remain optimistic with the Mets, well, there are a few reasons. Number one, because you know that the owner is not going to tolerate anything less than what he believes to be a high level of performance. May not happen all the time, but he sure is going to try to make sure that is the case. So he'll give the resources necessary to fix whatever issues they have. They're getting reinforcements back. It may be another couple weeks, but they should have post All-Star break, which is only a couple. What is today? Today's the third, right? Tomorrow's the fourth, obviously. You got a couple of weeks until the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, the Mets should have Manaea and Senga in their rotation. That will change things. Jesse Winker is coming back. That will help lengthen out that lineup. And then they're going to have the possibility of going out there and acquiring some pieces, multiple, plural, at the trade deadline. So if they could just stop the leaking here, they're taking on a lot of water. If they could just hold the fort down for another week or so and maintain their position in the NL East, even if it's a couple of games behind the Phillies, whatever it may be, 10 games over 500, if they could play close to 500 for the next 2 weeks, I think things will be different on the other side of it. But they do have some significant flaws where guys that they're relying on, no matter what happens with guys coming back or at the trade deadline, Vientos has to perform. Nimmo's got to perform. Alvarez playing much better down in the minors, so you hope he can come back up here and perform at the big league level. Wouldn't get caught up in the numbers so far, but the fact that he's producing, hitting some home runs, that would be something that I would look at as at least a positive sign, give you some hope that he could come up here and produce. Those guys have to hit. Mets have some issues, and it's a totally different level than the Yankees. The Mets are in their infancy stages here of proving their worth as a franchise that could have sustained success. They haven't had it ever in their history. 1962, ever, have not had sustained success. Not in the 80s, not in the 60s, not ever. Twice in their history have they made the postseason consecutive years. We all assumed, I assumed that it was going to happen 2022, 2023. Wrong. We all assumed it was going to happen this year. And I still believe that's going to be the case. But as the Mets are proving in June, hey, nothing is guaranteed with them. They have to prove themselves. I think they will. Not going to go nuts and panic. But they need to stabilize here before the reinforcements come down the road. And they need to get the guys that are here, whether it's Soto hitting with guys on, whether it's Nimmo or Vientos actually producing to a consistent level. They need that to happen in addition to getting the reinforcements. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Back to the Yankees. Mike is in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, great show. So actually, I'm a Met fan, but, you know, I think for the Yankees, you know, if you think about it, what's more important? Is it more important for the ownership to win a World Series or the fans? And I think the answer is the fans want the World Series more than the Yankee ownership. I mean, all they want to do is make the postseason, make a lot of money. Brian Cashman is like the golden goose for Hal. You know, money's coming in for like the last 25 years.
I think they want to make that. See, to say that Hal or Cash don't want to win the World Series, I don't agree with that at all, Mike. I think that Hal wants to win. I know that Brian Cashman wants to win. What I don't know is if they know what it takes to win. And the way that they build their ball club, I just vehemently disagree with. That's where we have an issue. I don't think it's a desire of will. And also, we could question the Yankees and their spending because it's not so much more, you know, $20 million more than the next guy. Now they're not even top of the list. You get the Mets, Dodgers, whatever in front of them. But they still spend a ridiculous amount. So I don't think it's the want. I think it's that their flaws at developing players and just identifying the type of player that is going to help them tighten up the little things that cost them games. That's my issue with them.
And for the Mets, I think this has to be like a 2015 trade deadline. We need to have a big impact, and we have to go all in. So I don't want anything measured. I mean, you have to be, you know, you have to make a good choice. But let's go for it this year. You know, let's get the reinforcements. I want to get to a World Series now. That's it. Let's go.
There you go, Mike, and thank you for the call. It should be all in, but I don't think that that's one big move. I think it's multiple moves for the Mets. Who knows what moves are going to be available to be made for both the Mets and Yankees come trade deadline July 31st, and we're now, you know, weeks away from that, obviously, as well. So let the speculation begin. Both these teams are going to need to make some additions. I don't think the Mets need, let's say, one big bat. I would go get the best reliever that's available to them. I would look to get another batter, too. I also think the biggest, my thing with the Mets is I would look to just change it up a little bit. Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, are those guys, do they have any value in the trade market? And could you move them and bring in different pieces? Not necessarily, like everybody thinks, oh, if you trade certain guys who could be productive, it's you're giving up on the season. Or you need to make a big trade and bring people in, big bats in. Sometimes I think a change where a trade that could benefit two sides could be beneficial as well. And I feel like that's where the Mets are at. I would look to, now again, I don't know if Nimmo's contract's going to be tradable. Anything's possible if Steve Cohen wants to take on some of that money and pay Nimmo to go away. Then you have to think about it, okay, is it worth paying Nimmo to go away? How much are you going to have to pay to be able to move him? Or would you rather just keep him and the potential of what he can be? I'm tired of the potential. I'm tired of the inconsistencies. I would change up the feel. McNeil would be easier to move on from. I would trade McNeil and bring up Acuna. That's move one. So you're trading McNeil, whatever you get in return, or just shedding his salary, which should free you up to go take on other salary, whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen, or a different bat in the lineup. I mean, if you actually boil it down, there are only so many moves the Mets can make. They clearly need a center fielder. I just told you how I would fix second base. They could use a third baseman, and then maybe, hey, is Vientos part of a trade? Maybe somebody sees Vientos with the potential that he showed last year or the results that he showed last year and has potential. Maybe they value him. I don't know. Maybe somebody values Beatty. I don't know. But they have to figure out. I would look to clean up the cluster of players that they have at third and bring in one player who can play third base. Catcher, I mean, they're going to probably just roll with what they have and hope that Alvarez is the best option. Again, you can't replace everything. And then I would look to, certainly the bullpen, and I would look to see what the options would be as far as Nimmo. Now, they're probably not going to do that with Nimmo. Maybe asking to trade Nimmo and McNeil is too much. They'll probably just roll with Nimmo. But if I could find a leadoff hitter that could play good defense and just be a more consistent, less upside, but more consistency than Brandon Nimmo, I would make that exchange, even if it meant paying a portion of that salary. I don't think they're going to do that. That's something what I would be doing. But at bare minimum, I would trade McNeil, bring Acuna up. He would be my second baseman. Lindor at short, Acuna at second, Alonso at first, Alvarez catcher, figure out third, figure out center. You got Soto in right, and I would look to make a move in left or just keep Brandon Nimmo there. Chuck is calling from Seabright, New Jersey. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, hey. How you doing, Sal? Thanks for taking the call. I mean, I listen to you, you know, pretty much every day, and you're really hard on Nimmo. You know, if you just look at a few statistics about what he's done this year. Right? First of all, the guy that made the All-Star team has 17 homers and 46 ribbies and batting .261. Well, Nimmo's batting, you know, .254, 16 homers, 47 RBIs. He's got great exit velocity. He hits the ball hard. He's an average fielder. I get that. He steals bases at a pretty good clip and very rarely gets thrown out. When I go to games or I go with my, you know, my grandchildren or my nephews, the guy we watch is Nimmo because he plays the game the right way. He's great in the clubhouse. You know, consistency, yes. But if you look at his stats and you look at his Lindor stats, and even if you look at Soto's stats, right, they're very similar. So Nimmo's a big part of the team. He's making $20 million a year. I get it. But why would you get rid of him?
Who are you going to get? I just told you.
Who are you going to get? Azuno? Who are you going to get? Azuno?
Azuna, you're talking about from the Braves?
Yeah, who would you replace Nimmo with?
Who do you think is a better offensive player?
Well, I think Nimmo.
Then Azuna? No.
He holds his own. Yeah. For sure he does.
No,
for
look, sure you, Chuck, you like Nimmo, and so do I, and I understand why you do like him. Because of all the things that you said, he plays the game hard, he plays the game the right way, he's great in the clubhouse. I would look to change things up, and Nimmo has gotten worse since his best days of OPS, where it was 888, 838, 800, 829. The last 2 years, it's fallen below 730. This year, well, you know, last year was 727. Right now, he's at 770, working his way back up. On base has come down. He's below his career average and on base. Yeah, the power's gone up a little bit for Nimmo. I need to see more consistency. He used to be a consistent player. He's also so fragile and banged up. Look, I like Nimmo. I'm not. Not all trades have to be this guy stinks, get him out of here. It's, hey, this guy could be valuable. I'm looking to get ahead of a potential problem with Nimmo and a player who I see as being inconsistent and not durable enough for my liking, and I want to upgrade that. That's why I would look to move Brandon Nimmo.
Well, okay. Yeah, and that's your opinion. He plays every day. His OPS is 770. He's a home run hitter. He hits home runs now. He's going to hit 30 home runs this year. Yeah. Right? He's got 17.
Chuck, I get it. You like Brandon Nimmo. I think he should be better. Yeah. I expect more from Nimmo. And thank you for the call. Now, you're probably going to be lucky because they're probably not going to be either A, willing to move Nimmo, or B, able to move Brandon Nimmo. But Nimmo should be a more impactful offensive player. That's what they signed him to that contract for. And he just hasn't been that. Last year, the excuse was, well, he was hurt. Okay, well, this year he's going to try to stay healthy. I talked to Nimmo. Had him on with Beninga when we were at the Amazing Day out at Citi Field. Great guy. Told him to his face. Dude, all-star time here. Let's go. And that's the goal. And again, he fell far short of that. His numbers coming up a little bit as of late. He has not been anywhere near consistent enough. At all. I like him a lot. Sometimes you got to trade good players. And if somebody else could see value in him at age 32, I'd be getting ahead of that problem if I were the Mets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.